The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wildo and Sylvie, or Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? It is time to talk Crosstalk Unhinged. The four horsemen together.
Really?
No. Can anyone recite the legendary poem, The Four Horsemen?
I'm sure one of you two can, and I'm sure both Sylvia and I can't.
Yeah, I actually can't, I don't think.
Outlined against the dark gray October sky, there stood the four horsemen. In dramatic lore, they are known as famine, hunger, pestilence, and death. Yes, but these are only aliases. Right. For today, they are known as Studelheyer, Layden, Miller, and Crawley. And then there's more.
That's
to
pretty
it.
Good,
here.
You guys should be on some fucking video game.
My brother went to Notre Dame, guys. It was natural for me to have that one under my guise, if you will, you know, my level of knowledge.
The four horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's impressive as shit.
Waddle can do Hickory Dickory Dock.
Whoa!
Hickory Dickory Dock. Tommy was sucking my cock.
That's not true.
I was going to say, what's the Andrew Dice Clay version?
Mm-hmm.
Hickory Dickory Dock. I mean, remember how fucking silly all that shit was, and we thought it was hilarious. Like in the 80s.
Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with $2.50.
Oh,
what a fucking whore!
Oh, he was selling out Vegas with that bullshit.
Yeah, he was. Millions. I saw him in Vegas.
He made millions doing that.
God bless him, I guess, but like just complete nonsense.
Have you ever seen the movie The Adventures of Ford Fairlane?
I saw it once.
It was fantastic.
Years ago. It
was fantastic. It was a great movie. Really? Wildly entertaining for Johnny the Good Kid. Gilbert Gottfried gets killed. I mean, it don't get better than that.
Now Speaking of it, I was telling you. What's that?
Gilbert Gottfried's dead now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Johnny killed
him. Crossed him off the list then, Carm.
I was telling Carm, I'm now on season 6, episode 20, Blue Comet, the next to last episode of Sopranos. Yeah. And I've been fucking loving every minute of the rewatch.
It's a great rewatch.
Is this the one where Bobby Bacala gets to death?
That's what Carm was saying. Yeah. The train.
He's buying the train. It's called Blue Comet.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he's like one of those model train junkies, you know, that's what he does in his. But can you imagine a mobster? You're clipping people 1 minute, making collections, and then you've got a train track at home.
Like, he was born into it. He didn't have a choice.
It's so crazy.
If his name was another name and it wasn't Italian, he wouldn't had an issue. Bobby. He was born into it.
Good old Bobby Bacala.
Yeah. The episode prior was one of the I can't watch a scene where Tony takes one of the guys from Philly's crew. He's already beat the shit out of him and puts his face down on the ledge and then gives him the stomp. Like, oh my God.
Curb stomp.
That's the most disturbing act of violence I think of all.
Open your mouth and put your teeth on the curb.
Oh, yeah. What was that, American History X?
Yeah, American History
X. Yes. That was
Ed Norton.
Disturbing.
Norton.
Good movie. Disturbing. Yeah, but Sopranos is a fun rewatch. You know, it's long because it's those episodes are all an hour. And I mean, it takes a while if you're going to get through it to watch the whole thing again. There are a lot of episodes, but
the first five seasons are only like 12 episodes. The last season's 21. But it's been great. It's kind of been a walk down memory lane because I forget half this shit. But it's
what if it came out today, guys? Like if it was introduced today and we don't have the history of watching it in the early 2000s and it was introduced today on Netflix, same length, same everything, less attention span in today's world, would it be as popular?
Yeah. Absolutely, because it's basically what Peaky Blinders was popular. And in essence, that is the Sopranos of Birmingham or wherever they happen to be out there in England.
Yeah. I think it would, because it's so well done. I mean, the acting is so good. Everything about it, the writing was so good. They found the perfect ensemble cast. I mean, I think it still would be successful. And
Was Gandolfini known at all before he got that role?
I mean,
he was in that one movie with Christian Slater already.
Well, he was in True Romance.
True Romance.
Yeah, Yurko's right. He was in True Romance. I mean, he wasn't nearly as known.
Right, but I think he had done some theater.
Did he?
Yes, I believe he had.
True Romance is a sneaky great movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
Written by Quentin Tarantino, by the way.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Directed by Tony.
Is he retiring, Quentin?
He's making his last movie.
Yeah, he's making his last movie, The Hateful Eight of the Osage.
It's not
going to be 3.5 hours of absolute shit.
That's not it. First of all, you're thinking of Martin Scorsese.
I know who I'm thinking of. I'm thinking about all these acts that were making movies before that are probably a little long in the tooth and need to retire.
I believe he's making his last one. He lives in Israel now. He married a woman from Israel, whose father I think was I'd have to double check this, because I remember last time he was on Howard, I think, listening to him talk about it, like his father-in-law, he might have passed, was like some famous, I want to say, like opera singer from Israel or
not
something.
Surprised.
I don't know. And like, he married this woman from Israel, he lives there now, I guess he's making his last movie, and then he made it sound like he's tapping out. Then he's got younger kids, he's old enough. Yeah, I love Tarantino. He's probably my favorite director ever. So.
Glorious Bastards. Give me the top three movies. Go.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Inglourious Basterds. And then probably, I mean, I love Reservoir Dogs, but I'd probably go. I also like the one he did with Leo and Margot Robbie where they spoofed the the Wonderland Murders. What was that called? Why am I blanking on the name? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I really like that one too.
That one was good.
That one was really good. I thought it was really great.
Brad Pitt was fantastic in that.
Django's also really good.
Unchained.
Django is awesome. I'd probably say Pulp, Inglourious Basterds, and maybe Django after that.
You see that Scorsese, I think they're talking about doing I think it's a Sinatra movie with Leo as the lead.
Oh, I like Sinatra? That.
I think so.
Well, I don't see that though.
He could do that.
You think a Sinatra? Yeah.
He's weathered now. Yeah, he's weathered enough.
The forehead though is so different than Frank. I mean, don't I want somebody that looks a little bit more like Frank?
Yeah,
they need to be identical.
Says Scorsese's going to direct the Sinatra film with Leonardo DiCaprio.
3.5 hours, guys.
It'll be a long. It'll be a long one.
3.5 hours.
That's true. I'm surprised there aren't already, not that I can think of, are there any really good movies about Sinatra's rise? I mean,
not that I know.
I can't think of any.
What about Ocean's 11?
Really great. I love the idea of it. Sylvia, you're right.
Nancy Sinatra was in one of the season 6 episodes of The Sopranos too.
Oh yeah. When Phil was made boss, right? She was singing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. But yeah, I can't think of any like real stories about Sinatra. HBO did the movie about Sinatra and those guys helping to get Kennedy elected, but that wasn't about like the rise and of Sinatra's career. And then I don't know.
Joe DiMaggio, get me some of that stuff.
Yeah,
Johnny Fontaine.
Yeah, Johnny Fontaine's based on Sinatra. They say that's true. But it's like a fictionalized version of it. I don't know. A Sinatra movie would be good. I'm surprised there hasn't already been one of those. I'd be down for that.
Tommy, I'm gonna need some coffee later on, though.
Yeah, I got you, bro.
Waddles in the Northern Burbs.
Well, I'll get it. You're
broadcasting next to a Dunkin' Donuts.
Listen,
really, I'm on next to a Dunkin' Donuts on the 7th floor.
I'm next to the office. I know when the big fella needs fuel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know what he means, Yurko.
Quit fucking defending him. I've had enough of you defending him all the time.
What did you guys get into it about? I heard you guys got
no talent hack.
What happened?
I heard you guys got into it the other day over something. Oh, about
Carmen Lynn. Yelled at me. Here's what happens. I go too far with Carmen, and I press him, and I needle him, and I needle him. And then his way of telling me to shut the hell up is by blowing up at me, which he did.
When did that happen?
Yeah, what was the conversation about?
Who knows? But he goes, Live quit golf. Being a jerk. Oh, and it? I was being intentional as being golf. A jerk.
Live golf.
That was off the air. He was being your
He knows.
He knew what I was saying.
I knew what he was saying, but then I went and I badgered him for it.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what I'm talking about, you jackass. Yeah.
So he yelled at me.
Yeah. That was off the air, though. That was a conversation.
But then I know I pushed him too far. Usually he could take it, but I go, okay, I went too far. I start backpedaling right away. Okay, let me bring you back in. Let me bring you back in. Old Mount Carmen DeFalco Blue. Let's keep the lava, within the rim there, keep it in the rim.
It is still one of the greatest things, I think, at our station is Carm could have his car destroyed in an accident. Nobody hurt, but he'd be like, oh, that's okay. I'll get a new one. Yeah. And then something odd just
drafted a punter in the fourth round. It'll set us off a little bit.
All I said was the decision to draft it was kind of arrogant. And people go haywire, blah, 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 blah. I can guarantee you there was a time last year Gil pinned him at the five, and the other team went on a 95-yard touchdown. And they're going to blame Gil because the defense gave up the 95-yard touchdown. It's just dumb. Just dumb. It was a dumb, arrogant decision to take a punter in the fourth round. It just is. There's nothing else. And you can give me all the numbers in the world, and all they're going to do is I'm going to ignore them. The funniest thing is people act like analytics just were invented yesterday. They've been using analytics in football for gazillions of years.
Well, the truth is, Johnny, the analytics these days have led to a trend where teams are going for it more on fourth down and not asking
the punter to. They minimize the role of the punter.
Yeah.
But when you mention that to the people that want to mention analytics all the time, they're like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, okay.
It's an interesting question. If we have time, I'm going to ask him today, have they had conversations yet, or maybe they will, about how – like, will this change the way that you approach fourth downs now because you have this weapon to punt? Like, will you, if you're on the 45-yard line, your own 45 at fourth and two?
Oh, it better not.
What are you going to do?
You have a weapon at quarterback now. Weapons all over the offense.
Correct.
That's why the conversation, I think, is so silly. I mean, Sylvie's right. The idea is your offense is now the weapon. Like, I don't care how good your punter is at pinning the other team inside the five. You're always better from a win-loss standpoint, possessing the football and having your offense on the field.
Yes.
Always. Like, that's why the whole conversation is crazy.
I think this is more for fourth and seven at the 50. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
fourth and
yeah.
eight at the 50.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're flipping the field and you hope
that could be.
That makes total sense.
That
but
could be. Yeah.
But do you trust Matt Eberflus at all times to make the right decision on in that fourth and three? Is he going to be inspired because they drafted a punter in the fourth round to maybe play the field position game instead of be aggressive with this offense that is high flying?
It's very interesting, Waddle. This is more of the sports conversation for the show.
Yeah.
But when your head coach is basically your defensive coordinator.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
when he makes a decision, Sylvie, is he making a decision as the head coach?
Coordinator.
Yeah.
Because he's the coordinator. He's calling your defense.
That's a valid punter question for Ryan today.
Yeah, Ryan polls with you guys today, right?
Yes, yes. So, all right, what else is going on in your world, boys?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. Youth baseball.
Yeah.
Youth baseball, boys.
A lot. Carmen's a lot.
Johnny and I,
for the first time.
Johnny and I are in different stages of life. Are you guys, I know you enjoy watching your kids play ball and do all that stuff, but does it wear you out?
I don't know. The only yes and no, if that makes any sense. Like coaching one team, like coaching a little league and dealing with conflicts and like who's going to be there and who's not and who can pitch and who can't. Like it's a little, it's like unnecessarily stressful. Let's put it that way. Like they're 12. Like, you know, like it shouldn't be.
Have you found yourself
so stressful
at any point calling a 12-year-old a motherfucker for not going to second base when he should have? Have you ever?
No.
How about just what an idiot?
No.
I've said that about kids.
I mean, sometimes.
Oh. What an idiot. What a moron.
Yeah, I mean, I would never put it that harshly. Sometimes, you know, you might wonder, like, okay, what's going on upstairs? Like, are we paying attention at all? Do we have any?
Scream, what the fuck are you doing, kid?
No. Okay. We might yell. I would never say to a kid, what the fuck?
We've seen Carmen yell. I think we saw a video of you yelling one time at somebody going, what are you doing?
Well, I might say that. But I understand. Would never say, what the fuck are you doing to a kid?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
We just take the fuck out. That's all you do.
We might say, what are you doing? Sure. We've done that.
The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
Have you ever seen the Instagram account where the coach goes up to the kid on the mound and goes, do your parents know you've never gotten anybody out?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean that is funny. But he's torturing those kids mentally too.
Yeah. Sylvie, this is your first experience of as a parent being in the arena with competitive, you know.
Your second one's more competitive than your older one, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, yes. Mason,
now you're getting
Mason likes basketball, but he's no more baseball. But yes, he's a better athlete. My second one. Now he's just starting as an 8-year-old. I have not watched him play in a travel game yet. The first one, I had an event downtown. The second one got canceled.
I heard because
of the Chicago Park District. My opinion is I think it's early. I think 8 years old is early for travel sports.
I agree with you.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. I started playing football when I was 10. My brother started when he was 7.
Yeah. I mean, it's very early. Like
wasn't travel.
Right. It was local.
It was, we had to walk or ride our bikes down to the forest preserve, and that's where we had practice, and we had to ride our bike back.
There was no travel football. We were the Sherrillville Screaming Eagles the entire time.
Yes. We were very happy just calling it Little League and playing La Rosa Pizza. We were Skokie Club restaurant. And we would play La Rosa Pizza or Tallman Bank, Simpson Crawford Shell. Those are the teams that we played. We weren't traveling anywhere except to Central Park to play a team.
I played for the Knights of Columbus. My little brother played for Stefaniak and Sons, the insurance company, before he joined his older brother. They wouldn't let you split family once you're at the major leagues. So we had peewees, we had minors, and we had major leagues.
Can you imagine what your parents would have said back in the day if you had to travel?
No, please.
4 hours to go play a baseball game. Like
my dad said, go blow it out your ass. I worked all day. It's my day at home. No. That's what they would have said. I didn't ask my parents to play hockey. I thought about playing hockey when I was a kid, but it was going to cost my mom and dad money. God forbid that I went there and I said, hey, I need $200 skates. Back at the time, maybe $200. $200 skates and a $40 stick.
Yeah.
They'd have looked at me and I thought, what are you, nuts?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Who's going to do? How are you getting to practice? Well, you got to drive me to Homewood. Yeah. No. No. You can play whatever you want as long as you can walk there. That's it.
Except hockey.
Okay. And now what? Skates are $1,000?
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
When I was done, they were like $795 to $825 when I was done. Sticks were $250 a pop.
Yeah, sticks are $300.
Yeah. Per stick?
Oh, yeah.
Per stick, and you had to have a backup.
And your warranty, the manufacturer warranty is 30 days. That's it.
For 30 days?
30 days.
Man, go in there with a cracked stick and try to get a new stick. Good luck.
30 days.
That's a racket.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. Crazy.
I don't want to sound selfish, but I will. Like when the game was canceled, I'm not going to lie. I was happy, and I texted my guy John over at Devontae. You know, they used to be that restaurant group used to be a big partner of ours.
Yeah, and Scott Harris.
Yeah, Scott Harris. Yeah. And we went over to the new Devante in Lincolnwood, right down the street. We had ourselves a meal. I had myself four drinks, a great dessert, a great steak with the family.
Baseball.
And I'm like, I didn't have to fucking sit through a 2.5 hour baseball game. This is what a Saturday night's supposed to be.
Watching 8 year olds walk the ballpark. And it's a tough watch at eight. I know. It's a tough watch.
You know, there was never T-ball when we were kids.
We had T-ball when we were kids.
Not when we were kids. It was straight. Either you could pitch or you couldn't pitch.
Really? You guys didn't have T-ball?
Wow. No T-ball.
We did it. We definitely had T-ball. When you were seven, you could start that. When you were seven, it was your first year.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe it was six.
We played at Downey. We had one little league at Downey Park. That was the little league baseball with the patch.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Civic League. And the guys that were south of 159th Street all played in the Civic League. So it was two different little league groups in our city, in Calumet City. So Civic League and our league. The guys in the Civic League thought they were the champions of the world.
Yeah. There's no, like, when we were kids, like, there's no asking your parents for, like, private lessons when we were kids.
Private lessons?
It's crazy.
Watch TV.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, you know.
There was never a moment either when any of the parents were screaming at people, their kids, the other kids, whatever. Paul Camphouse and Marilyn Camphouse used to sit in their lawn chairs, chain smoking, and not saying a word. They would bring drinks. This has got to be in the late 70s. They lived down the street from us, and he was our quarterback in high school, and then went to BC. We played together in BC. His mom and dad would sit in these two lawn chairs down the left field line. They'd bring a cooler with drinks in it and smoke a pack of fucking Vantage cigarettes over the course of 2 hours. Wouldn't say a word. Hey, everybody's parents were.
They're just ripping cigs and Miller Lite. That's awesome.
Carm, you know what a private lesson was back in the day? Is when I would be alone in the backyard throwing up a baseball and hitting it,
yeah.
You know, and then going to chase the ball and throwing it up and hitting it again. I was alone. It was private. And then the other private fielding lesson was me throwing up a baseball in the air and trying to make a diving catch with my glove. Yeah. Those were private lessons.
That's it. He said, like, throw the tennis ball off the brick wall and work on your hands. You know, backhanded. That's your private lesson.
The private fucking lesson.
Practice blocking the plate as a catcher.
Yeah, that's I can't say I ever did that, actually, like practice blocking.
Were you guys anyone a catcher? I was never a catcher.
No, a little bit when I was pretty young. But
center field, first base.
Johnny's roaming the outfield. Johnny
center field with fucking Mickey Mantle over here.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this guy.
Manage the outfield like there's no tomorrow.
Fucking little young Mickey
Mantle. We played Alperts. We got killed by Alperts. Wayne Warren was our pitcher. He was on the mound, big lanky kid. He threw molasses. It was slow. I mean, it wasn't his fault. He just threw slow. His dad was the manager. So I'm playing center. Big Mikey Miller, who played football at Northern Illinois. He's class 85, but he went to Mount Carmel. Mikey Miller slashed the ball in the right center field, one hop defense. I went and got it. And he got a double, threw the ball back in. Next time he comes up, I started cheating a little bit toward, you know, right field. So I went from center to right center.
Spray chart.
And an early morning spray chart. He laced the ball, identical ball. I come racing over and grabbed it and fired it back into the infield, and they were livid. And I was cheating. And when I saw the swing, you could see it might be a little bit late, and I started to take off. And there it was. I got there just in time, made the grab, and fired it back in there. They're like, livid. They were livid.
Oh,
they were livid because I made the grab.
Well, it was
shades of some of the greatest center field play they've ever seen.
Yeah, well, what do they get to be livid about? You were using your head.
Fucking Mays.
Hey, Willie Mays over here, really. Hey.
I don't know what to tell you.
Do you have one of those cards in your back pocket to tell you the tendencies of the hitters?
No, didn't need it. It's all right here.
Yurko had a cigar in his back pocket.
Computer.
Like Bump Bailey. That's what Yurko had in his back pocket.
But you're right here.
60 ring gauge.
You're good. That's what you were saying. There were analytics before there were analytics.
That's right.
You didn't need a spray chart. You had it up there. You were doing the spray chart in your mind because you knew what the tendency was after the first at bat.
100% correct, though, my friend. 100% correct, though.
I played old man baseball for like 3 or 4 years before my body gave out. It's one of the best. It's one of the most fun times of all.
Like fast pit, like overhand fast pitch?
Oh, yeah.
Like what Kaplan did. League with Cap?
Yeah, it was on the same team. We had a catcher, a guy that played in college. He was – his guy, first name was Chris. I forget his last name. He was incredible. There was a 60-year-old fucking guy dealing 90 miles an hour at us.
Get out of here.
I swear to God. It was crazy. Guy pitched, you know, in the minor leagues and all kinds of stuff. You know, I would get on base, and I'm like, yeah, you got to steal. I got thrown out 3 times in one game.
Oh, my God.
3 times in one game in old man baseball got thrown out stealing. But it was so much fun. Like, you just – you're back to living the good old days of being a 15-year-old like kid playing ball.
Yeah.
See, when we're I was done, we played a little bit of softball, 18-inch softball.
Yeah,
16-inch softball. What am I talking about?
18-inch. I haven't heard 18-inch.
I got caught between fast pitch, the 8-inch ball, and the 16-inch ball.
It's the uncircumcised ball.
Played some 16-inch, then played some 12-inch. Is it 12?
12. 12's the hard ball.
Yeah. 12's the hard ball, the softball. So we played that with mitts, and we had a neighborhood team.
Yeah.
When we got in the neighborhood, 1998, 90, you know, not 98, in the summer, like 2000, 2001.
It's fun.
We're all like in our 30s, all going out there having a little bit of fun. And
12-inch was fun back in the day.
Yeah.
I'd never play anymore.
Strained a hamstring and it was over.
That's it.
Muscles are tight, no good. Can't have this.
We had this conversation a few weeks ago about because Tyler got hurt. 16-inch softball is this. It's got to be like, what are you doing? You're just asking to break a finger or a hand or a wrist.
Sylvie did it. Sylvie broke.
I know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, just put a fucking glove on. Why are we playing without gloves?
I don't know. 12-inch, it just, you know, you feel it's like it's more like baseball.
That clincher, though.
It's very different.
Right. It's that 16-inch clincher, though, is only hard for about an inning or two. And then after that, it becomes a mush ball.
Yeah. Not mush. Never mush, Yerk.
Yeah, but not like it is when it comes out of the box. And that's why you see the pitcher get it, and he's slamming it on the ground like the first 10, 12 times. He's slamming it on the ground.
I don't know.
Trying to get that thing to soften up a little.
Are there more injuries in 16-inch softball in the city of Chicago than there are any other recreational sports?
No, probably still basketball. People? Probably still basketball.
Really?
Yeah. As you get older, like, it's crazy to be playing competitive hoops, I think. Like, it's just – there's too much that can go wrong.
Wouldn't even try.
No.
So, and I'm reading what the – I've always gone back because I always forget. What's the history and why Chicago? And I guess because the parks were so small that they used the 16-inch softball so that way the ball would stay in the parks.
That makes sense, I guess, you know. But I don't know.
It was created by a hand surgeon is what it was. The whole game was created by a hand surgeon, creating business for himself.
Created in the 1800s, too.
No, get out.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Let me go pick this up here.
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
I've never played. I'm not interested in breaking a finger. Just no.
No, we all, like I did a couple times as a kid, but like I never had interest in it. 12-inch was fun because it made you feel more like you were playing baseball again. You know, so like in our 20s, early 30s, played some 12-inch in the summer, like in Grant Park and stuff. But yeah, now we're just
1887.
1887?
Farragut Boat Club.
Wow. That's crazy. You old sailor, you. The old boat club. all right, what are you guys hard for the coming weekend?
Derby. The Derby's tomorrow, Saturday.
Saturday. Derby time. Minchula?
To me, not just because I like horse racing, but it kind of signifies, too, that, like, spring is here.
Spring, and, yeah.
You know, we're going to have more warm and better weather.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm hard for the Derby, and then Yurko and I are, like, in 2 weeks are going to be in Kentucky, too. So I love going down to Louisville. So we're doing a listener trip down there. What's that?
There's a lot to do in Louisville.
Tons. I mean, they've capitalized on the bourbon boom in the last decade.
They have.
Even more than ever. Like, there's great stuff to do down there. There's great restaurants, great bars. I mean,
is there a Jeff Ruby restaurant down there?
There's a Jeff Ruby.
There is. There is. We won't go there. It's too expensive.
Too expensive.
There's a couple of better. Jeff Ruby's is good, but
Travis has got like our meal plan: saltine crackers and sardines.
You're gonna be an asshole. I mean,
saltine crackers and sardines. Just fits right under the budget, guys. Right under the budget, right there.
Sardines.
Yeah, sardines and saltine crackers. You want mustard sauce or you want an olive oil?
You want a can of peas? That can of peas my ass. It's a Ritz cracker.
Yeah.
Like Frank Pentangeli and Godfather right. too.
I'm excited for the first of three golf trips I got planned in the next month.
Yeah, you're gone tomorrow, right? You're golfing.
I am hightailing out of town. I'm heading to West Lafayette to play Coyote Crossing tomorrow. Ackerman, which is one of Purdue's courses on Saturday. And then we play Sandy Pines on the way home.
Nice.
Yep.
Believe it or not, I have not been much into the NBA playoffs, but
not surprised. Well,
I think you have to be for Knicks and 76ers. What's going to be the latest turn in that series?
Totally agree. Like that game five is tonight, and I'm glad that that's the later game. I'm glad that that's the 8 o'clock game.
Game six, right? It's game six.
Yes.
Excuse me. And I'm glad that it's the later game. So I could be home to watch it because we have my son's got a game at six. So that's good.
There were two beatings last night.
And then I'm looking forward to Denver and Minnesota, I think is going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
So after a dud of an opening weekend, the playoffs have been – last night wasn't great. You're right. But the playoffs have been pretty good here in the last – you know, after that opening weekend, which was kind of a dud. I think the NBA playoffs have been pretty good. So I'm looking forward to that. I agree with you there. Good thing to be hard for.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, the Derby you said, right?
Yes, Derby.
The mint juleps. Nice. BlueChew.com sponsors our great show and what gets us hard. And if you go to BlueChew.com and you use the promo code Unhinged, you will get a month's supply free. So try it for yourself. Stop waiting. Take Yurko's advice and get some Blue Chew, ladies and gentlemen. He's exhausted already. This is his second podcast today. Now we got to go do the show.
Johnny, I'm not going to be able to bring you the coffee until like 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're smoking Pall Mall unfiltered cigarettes?
Okay? No, I smoked a cigar yesterday, and of course, 89 yesterday, by the
way.
For those who care, 44-45.
Nice.
I really kind of grooved myself into an area of where I know I can score. Now I just got to fine tune it a little bit, man. I'm in the mission of fine tuning it.
Fine tuning.
I got two nipples in my hands and I'm fine tuning it.
Fine tuning. What's our new expression? Keep your mind sharp and your cock hard.
That's right.
Blue Chew will help you with that one. So you love that one.
Ready to rock.
Yes. Keep your mind sharp and your cocks hard. And we'll see you next week. And why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?